In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The parable that Jesus tells in our gospel reading this morning falls within a series of accounts in Luke's gospel that deal with the topic of money. At the end of chapter 15, Jesus tells the very familiar parable of the prodigal son. The son wastes the inheritance that his father gives him and is surprised that his father welcomes him back with open arms, restoring his position as a son rather than putting him into employment as a servant. And then in the verses that follow our gospel reading for today, Jesus states that you cannot serve both God and money. Before Luke identifies the Pharisees as lovers of money. And at the end of chapter 17, Jesus gives us the account of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man having everything that one could ever imagine having, ending up in hell. But the poor man, Lazarus, ends up in heaven because the rich man trusted in his possessions, and poor Lazarus, who had nothing during his earthly life, except for, that is, faith in the one true God, ends up at Abraham's bosom in heaven. The thing is, though, that all those other accounts make sense. I mean, we rejoice in the mercy of the Father who welcomes back his Son after all the wasteful living because we know that God, our Heavenly Father, is merciful to us. We hear Jesus say, you can't serve both God and money, and we nod our heads in agreement. Yes, that's right. Even if that does convict us of our own love of money. And we know the reason that the rich man ends up in hell is because his fear, his love, and his trust is not in the one true God, but in his money and in his position in his community. The parable of the unjust steward, though, as we have it this morning, as we call it, is a different matter. If we were telling the story, it would go something like this. A rich man discovers that his manager has been wasteful. And because the manager has been wasteful, that man is fired. That's what you do when somebody wastes money in a company, right? You get rid of them. But before he leaves, this guy decides to make deals with the guys that are indebted to his master. And in doing this, he robs his master, who has already fired him of more of his money. And so if we were to write the ending of this story, we would say that the master, the rich man, is going to have the man, the manager, his fired manager, arrested for stealing and put in prison. That's what you do when people embezzle from a company, right? But that's not what happens, is it? Although if that is what had happened, I'm not sure why Jesus would be telling the story in the first place. That's the thing with the parables that Jesus tells. There's always something that's a little bit off about them. There's always something that shows us that the reign of heaven is different. It's not the same as things in this world. Or it shows us that our Heavenly Father doesn't act in the way that we would expect Him to act. As we saw again with the parable of the prodigal son, right? Our Heavenly Father is merciful where the people in this world are not. So it is in this parable. The rich man does something that makes no sense. He commends the shrewd manager. He doesn't get upset with him. He doesn't punish him. Doesn't have him thrown into prison. He commends him. But why? Well, notice here, he commends him for his shrewdness. He commends him because, well, what he does is smart. He knows that digging, that is, manual labor, isn't an option for him. He doesn't want to make a living as a beggar because that's degrading. And so he puts himself in the good graces of those who owe his ex-master money so that they will welcome him when he's out of a job. It's smart. Not even the rich man can deny the rich man who's having money given away by this manager, he cannot deny that what the man is doing is smart. And so as we continue looking at this parable, we first have to recognize that Jesus is not giving advice on how to conduct yourself in the workplace. Do not do this, okay? If you get fired, don't try to quote Luke 16 as proof that you're doing the right thing when you start giving away your company's stuff. It's not going to go well for you. What Jesus is saying here, though, is that we must put money in its proper place. Money is not evil. We need it. We need it to buy things to support our daily lives. We need it to support our families. And we need to support the lives of others who are in need with the money that we have. And in this way, money is good. And if we were to leave it at that, that would be fine. But we don't do that, do we? We so easily turn money into our idol. It's the thing that we seek after more than anything in this life. We'll sacrifice anything for it. We'll sacrifice even our families by spending so much time chasing after the almighty dollar that nothing is left for our families. And the same goes for our faith. We'll sacrifice our faith for money too. We'll work more so that we can earn more at the expense of hearing and learning the Word of God. With all of this effort, though, there is a simple fact that we can't ever get past. When you die, you can't take it with you. It does you no good anymore. And so Jesus isn't giving us financial advice here, but he is telling us to be smart. But don't make friends whose hospitality is fleeting and who can help you only for the things that will perish in this world. Make friends with whom you can enjoy the treasures of heaven. Use whatever material gifts you've received from God to promote the extension of his reign in this world. Jesus says, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous wealth or unrighteous mammon. Don't buy anyone's favor. Instead, give God's favor away freely, even as you have freely received it. Give the gospel and give your money what for the unbelievers is unrighteous mammon to promote the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel reveals that the favor of God that is purchased, not with any amount of money, but it's purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord. And so the best way to make friends is with the gospel. The gospel doesn't come with a cost, but it's a cost. It comes with a cost, rather, but it's a cost that you didn't pay. Jesus paid it for you. The people of this world buy and sell favor for money. But it's a favor that's fleeting. It's a favor that doesn't last. But the favor that Jesus has purchased and won with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death is different. The fellowship, the friendship that is created in your baptism is something that cannot and will not ever be taken away. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus your Lord, not even death itself. Without a doubt, money is the most common false god in this world. Don't let it be yours. Use the money that God has given you in service to the gospel. God doesn't sell his forgiveness. That's already been paid for by Jesus Christ. So use the money that you have in this world to love and serve your family and your neighbor who's in need. Use that money to support the work of those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. For you know that the most treasured possession has already been bought and paid for by you in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.